Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bob Ryan, Justin Tinsley, Tim Kalashaw, and Mina Kimes. Buffalo Bills, 5.5-point favorites over the Bengals this weekend. Typically, it's a 3-point advantage for home field. Buffalo is home. Should the Bills be favored? And are we sure this game should even be in Buffalo or a neutral site? Let's go. Yeah, I'm going back there. I've taken 2 weeks to consider it. So much of the energy was about the coin flip between Buffalo and, Cincy and Baltimore. But now I'm hooked on this. When the scenarios were voted on and agreed upon by the league, there certainly was a fog of just get us to a point where we can play, and that's understandable. The coin flip for Cincy-Baltimore was so out there that it became the point Zach Taylor and team voiced against. And that was understandable, too. Now that we're here and the game is in Buffalo, are we sure this game shouldn't be at a neutral site? Buffalo home, 5.5-point favorite. Joe Burrow says Bengals aren't underdogs, that he likes going on the road. Zach Taylor, quote, "We know we're the defending AFC champion. We're not an underdog to anybody." Mina Kimes, around the horn to you. Is Cincy an underdog?
They are. If they were healthy, I don't think they would be, but they're not. They're down three of their five starters on the offensive line. We just saw Joe Burrow under siege, sacked four times despite a 2.38-second time to throw against Baltimore. They could not run the ball. The Bengals' offensive line is a problem. Now, that's not saying that I think the Bills are going to win overwhelmingly. I love Cincinnati's defense. Their ability to game plan for elite quarterbacks is unparalleled. But moving the ball on offense when you are that injured on your offensive line is very, very difficult, and Joe Burrow's life is not going to be easy.
Tim Kalashaw, Cincy underdog to you?
I think so. I mean, for two teams that we respect a lot and should respect a lot, Buffalo was not impressive last week, and Cincinnati was worse. Cincinnati didn't look like they were going to win the game until the whole 99-yard turnaround on the fumble at the goal line. As Mina said, three offensive linemen down, that's not going to go away. I think both quarterbacks are going to get sacked a lot. I don't think this is going to be the Josh Allen versus Joe Burrow 300-yard versus 300-yard show people might like to see. It's going to be tougher than that. But Buffalo is still at home. You got to go with the Bills.
Justin Tinsley, Cincinnati says they're not underdogs. You think they're underdogs?
Sure, they're underdogs for reasons that Mina and Tim said, but that only matters in Vegas. I love this team not really embracing the underdog trope. They can't use the nobody believes in us trope anymore. You were literally an Aaron Donald sack away from being Super Bowl champs, but this is a team that went to Kansas City and beat Kansas City last year in the AFC title game, so they're not intimidated by going to Buffalo. Cincinnati is 9-1 versus non-divisional opponents this year. Joe Burrow is 23-3 in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. So they're built for this stage, and there's a lot riding on this game. We've talked about their issues on the line, but getting the center Karras back is huge. And both teams are going into this game with a lot on the line in terms of winning streaks. Cincinnati wants to right last year's wrongs. Buffalo want to get over the divisional hump. So I don't think either side really cares about an underdog. Although Joe Burrow is 2-0 as a 5-point underdog the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm. And Bob Ryan.
Let me ask you all a question. Who is the defending AFC champion? Yes, you know the answer. They have unit confidence. They believe in themselves. They think they belong. They are entering this with not the slightest fear of intimidation or anything else. That's number one. Number two, I don't think that the home field advantage is a big damn deal in the NFL, except for one reason that doesn't exist in this game, and that's indoors versus outdoors. They're both outdoors. That's not a problem there. Number three, all I've been hearing all week, reading from the experts, is Buffalo didn't look that great. Buffalo, Josh Allen, turns it over too much. Yeah, it's all yeah, but. And so they're not invincible. I like Cincinnati. I'm not predicting an upset. I'm simply saying don't be surprised. This is an even game.
Mina, I hear you.
Oh, I see you're reacting to all the fellow panelists, but Bob specifically answering the question on what they did last year, and that's why they're not an underdog, but you're viewing them differently and who they are at this exact moment. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to just hit the offensive line again, guys, but it is so hard to generate explosive plays. The sort of explosive plays Joe Burrow dined on the outside to Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins last year, when you don't have any time. I would also add defenses have gotten a lot better at playing this team. Last season, they faced a lot of single high coverage. They were blitzed a lot. Joe Burrow was blitzed a lot. Defenses now know better. They're going to make Joe Burrow dink and dake his way down the field, and it's not going to be easy.
Bob Ryan, you said you didn't care where it was played. That's fine.
No.
That's an understandable reaction. Anyone questioning the NFL decision? Yeah, we're 2 weeks away from it. Okay, Callis Shaw, you. Today, Troy Vincent told the Buffalo News there was discussion about this being a neutral field situation, much like Kansas City Buffalo could be, but it was voted against. It was decided against. How do you read it?
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the easiest call to make, and to make a couple days after the Hamlin injury when we knew, or at least thought we knew, that things were going to be okay on that front, and we could start figuring out the football ramifications of not playing that game. Cincinnati had a home game taken away from them, a game I know it had just started, but they were winning the game, and it just seemed like the fairest thing to do. If these two teams play in the second round, play it at a neutral site, because Cincinnati, if they'd won that night, the game would be in Cincinnati today. I think both teams would have gone for it, and it would have been
fair. So the argument is, well, they played the same number of games, one team had a better record. I am familiar with the works of Pablo Neruda, okay? We recognize that. But the game that was being played were between these two teams, and that's the game that didn't go to completion. Both teams controlled their own destiny when they kicked off that game. We've been horrible. Move on. Let's talk one seeds now. Both heavy favorites. Philly by 7.5 over New York. KC by 8.5 over Jacksonville. But for this particular preview to the preview, I'm looking for vulnerabilities, looking for possibilities. Do the Giants or Jags have any path to victory, Bob Ryan? Which one seed could be vulnerable to upset?
The Giants? You're darn tootin' they do. You know, they're going to enter this game on a dual upswing. One is physical. They're playing great. The quarterback's coming off a career game. Saquon Barkley played the way Saquon Barkley's supposed to play, and then some. That's number. And spiritually, they're being fed a big deal by the New York press that this is a redux of the two Giants teams who beat the Patriots, that Daniel Jones has morphed into Eli Manning already. And I think they believe it. I think they're going to go in this with an inordinate amount of confidence. Plus, there's the old beating a team three times thing. And then finally, which Jalen Hurts will we see? I think the Giants are primed for the quote-unquote upset.
Mina Kimes.
Well, I think both favorites win. But as far as which of the underdogs has a better chance, I'm also going with New York. So yesterday I rewatched both the earlier Kansas City-Jacksonville game and then the Week 14 Giants-Eagles game. Both one seeds trounced their opponents. However, this Giants team has evolved in certain ways since then that I think makes this one closer. A couple of things. One, the last time they played, they didn't have Leonard Williams, Xavier McKinney, Adoree Jackson. This defense is getting healthier, and the four-man rush in particular has been better and better as weeks have gone along. Secondly, this offensive staff in New York maybe comes up with better game plans right now than any other team outside of Kansas City. And one thing that didn't happen the last time they played, Daniel Jones barely ran. He had one designed run for 17 yards. The Eagles defense is very good, but they are 30th in EPA per play versus quarterbacks who run. Right. So I expect to see Jones running a lot, and I think that'll help.
Did you see how many times he ran last game? 17 in total, which was a number that blew your mind. Okay, so you watch both games. When you watch both games in advance doing prep, are you watching that at time and a half, 150%, or is it really one? Callis Shaw, I know you were at a Mavericks game last night. Doesn't help you in this answer.
Yeah.
Maybe later in the show it helps you. That's what you did last night. But please, on your one team that could make a shocker.
Broad horizons are important on this show. I think it's also the Giants, and Bob and Mina stated a lot of the reasons. I think the helpful one is when you're playing a team in your division, you're not scared of them. You at least know why you lost those two games, and especially the second one when the Giants already knew they were the number two wild card and didn't care, and the Eagles still had trouble putting them away. They saw what Jalen Hurts is like after this injury, and maybe they picked up something there. I just think Jacksonville, this run they've had, mostly at home, mostly those wins at home against Dallas, against Tennessee, and last week, Going to Kansas City, that's going to be way over their heads.
Justin Tinsley.
Sure, I'll bite. I'm taking Jacksonville. They've got the most underdog wins in a single season in the Super Bowl era in eight. Dougie P knows that. He knows how to draft a zany game plan against really good teams. And laugh all you want at this stat. Trevor Lawrence on Saturday is 34-0 on Saturdays in college in the NFL, including 2-0 in the NFL his last two games. And since week 9, he's top 5 in completion percentage, QBR, and pass touchdowns against a man defense. And look, I love Patrick Mahomes. I'm part of that church, and I worship him too. But we've seen Kansas City lift their foot off the gas. They barely got by Denver. They went to overtime against Houston. So, look.
You realize that stat about playing on Saturdays, that's a lot of wins against Wake Forest and NC State and Georgia
Tech. It's 34-0.
Yeah. One more story here. I'm reading from today's Los Angeles Times now. The Chargers held a press conference for their coach Wednesday morning, and you'll never guess who showed up. Brandon Staley. Yes, he's still here. Bill Plaschke wrote it. At that conference, Staley said he never felt his job was in jeopardy. He has a lot of confidence going forward. Tim, should the Chargers and Chargers fans and Chargers Twitter account have confidence in Staley going forward?
I'm sorry, that looks like a Saturday Night Live skit with him popping up there at the microphone and looking around. It doesn't look like a real thing. And I apologize to Mr. Plaschke. Immense respect for him. I think he deserves one more year. I know he made some big mistakes. The Mike Williams playing in the last game, a guy who'd been hurt much of the year and they needed badly, that was huge. And that's on him. But playing in the division with the Chiefs, being who they are, I'd give him another year.
Cons.
Yeah, I agree with Tim. I mean, this is a little bit tricky because Staley wasn't perfect this year. I think the management of injuries, including Justin Herbert's earlier in the season, was a bit dubious. And then ultimately, he did oversee an offense that I felt was all too conservative. Mm-hmm. However, he is a brilliant defensive game planner, and he managed through some pretty challenging injuries. I think he deserves another shot, and then we'll see and reevaluate next
year. Bob Ryan.
I think that if 25 to 30 coaches in this league had managed the team the way he did in the end, he wouldn't be having this discussion. They'd be looking through the unemployment.
So what's different about Staley then? Or is it different about Los Angeles, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Ask his management. That it's all up to his management. If they're happy, fine. But he wouldn't survive in most places.
You can't get 100% people to agree on anything, Justin. At one moment during the night of that game, it was 100% that Sean Payton would be coaching L.A. by Monday or Tuesday morning. It didn't play out that way. Your thoughts on Staley going forward?
Look, I don't celebrate anybody losing a job, but in this case, I stand with Bill Plaschke. I'm surprised that he still has. And on top of all the other mistakes, what I really didn't like in that press conference, I don't think he took much accountability for that loss. He called it high-level football by both teams. I don't think you play high-level football or when you blow a 27-point lead, one of the biggest blown losses in NFL history. I would have liked to see more accountability, so there's no confidence, at least on mine.
Nina, you mentioned it, some conservative play calling. There was that fourth, I mean, they went for the field goal late in that game, you know, and when the whole thing is they go for it on fourth down. It didn't, and that's when the game got away from them. We'll take a break here, buy or sell on the other side. Just seemed like he wasn't true to himself.
Doug P. That's our analytics team.
Dougie P.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Seaport. Brought to you by Patron. Perfection starts with Patron.
News of the day from the NFL. It's about half the league could be looking for new offensive coordinators this offseason. Teams coordinating, getting rid of offensive coordinators. To two today, Tampa and Baltimore, Byron Leftwich and Greg Roman, respectively. Both offenses had issues this year. How much was OC? How much was other? And what it means for quarterbacks of those teams, Tom Brady in Tampa and Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. John Harbaugh today saying 100%, 200% that Lamar Jackson's the quarterback of the Ravens. Mina, there's a lot in there. Buy or sell?
Yeah, 200% is about how much they should increase the guaranteed money they're offering Lamar then. I think that offensive coordinators probably did have to go, starting with Roman. Even with when they had Lamar Jackson, the passing game left a lot to be desired, especially in terms of route spacing and depth. There were always issues. Felt like something that they had to improve upon. And then in Tampa, while they did go to the Super Bowl with Byron Leftwich, a lot of issues this year with play calling. I'll just point to one. Tampa had the best play-action passing attack out of the gun in the NFL, yet they used play-action at the lowest rate in the league. Just one of many frustrations watching that offense.
Tim Kalishaw.
It just seems like both are designed to placate fans. Byron Leftwich was good enough to win a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Greg Roman designed the 49er offense for Colin Kaepernick to get to a Super Bowl. And he was the coordinator when Lamar Jackson won an MVP. But they're going to do better somewhere else.
So you're selling both of these moves, Justin Tinsley?
When you have a bad season, you fire the offensive coordinator.
I'm buying both moves, but definitely for Baltimore. Baltimore's offense has fell off the cliff over the last couple of years. They were number one in 2019, and they were 19th this year. So while Greg Roman was great for that run game, there wasn't a lot of passing diversity in the passing game. So Baltimore needs a lot on offense, and in particular, an offensive identity rather, that's not Lamar or bust.
Same was true for Tampa, though. They were number one offense just 2 years ago and then falling to beyond the middle of the pack this year. Bob Ryan.
Wasn't Byron Leftwich one of the rising stars of the assistant coaching community only yesterday? I find it interesting. Here's my take on this. I can't disagree with anything that's been said. You have two offensive coordinators who are trying to design plays for the two most divergent quarterbacks in the NFL, the most immobile, old-fashioned quarterback, still breathing, and a prototype of the.
So my question would be: Do the moves then make you think there might be changes at quarterback because they'll bring in a new system, or what? Mina, does Roman out mean Lamar is going to be having to learn something new?
Well, I think both changes are good for the offense, potentially. And when you've got two quarterbacks who, you know, it's unclear if they'll return, I would think that improvements in the offense would make both those teams more attractive to the quarterbacks.
Bob Ryan, how about you?
What you need is whoever is going to get these new jobs, you have to get people specifically designed to accommodate these divergent quarterbacks, period, whoever they are. There's very specific
problems. The news from John Harbaugh, 200% that Lamar Jackson was quarterback of the team. That was the support panelists were asking for last week. You're hearing it now. Are you impressed? Do you believe it? It seems like there's still some consternation.
Seems like a lot.
We'll move 200%. On. Dallas Cowboys. They signed kicker Tristan Vizcaino to the practice squad this week, calling it insurance. Tim, how do you think that goes over in the head of Brett Maher as he tries to get over the four missed extra points in time for Sunday versus San Francisco?
They do have to worry about what's in the head of Brett Maher, but not that. He knows they have to look. They have to at least take a peek at what's out there. Nobody's ever had a playoff performance like he just did. And they may have to go till warm-ups to figure out which one to go with.
Justin Tinsley.
Tony, hopefully you'll appreciate this movie reference. This is the real life Ray Finkel villain origin story, or he's going to kick the game winning field goal and send Tim Kalishaw to his first conference championship covering the Cowboys. I don't know how this ends, but it's the Cowboys.
But the
even when they're perfect, they're imperfect.
The laces were in for Ray Finkel. I'm not sure you recognize that. The laces were not in this weekend for Maher. Go ahead, Bob Ryan.
We're told he had a good practice day today, that he being Maher. I think you stick with Maher, you have positive reinforcement. They all come up and pat him on the back. They all say they'll take him out to dinner after the game, whatever. They make him feel good. That's what they had to do.
And Kimes.
I mean, you have to do it, because if Maher misses that first one, he's getting pulled, right? And they do need a backup. But I'll say this about kicker psychology. They're competitors, too. Maybe having someone else in the building will motivate him to kick better.
Kalishaw, you want to add something? Please go ahead.
Brett Maher, 6-for-6 in practice today. Vizcano, 3-for-5.
That's the only panelist to know those swirling winds at the practice facility that gets them through.
Oh, they howl. They howl.
Times Kalishaw Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Australian Open had a 70-shot rally. I always wonder when these things happen. Is it a good thing or is it a boring thing? But we also have an American resurgence at the Open. Mackenzie McDonald over number one Rafa Nadal. We talked about that earlier this week. Jensen Brooks beat so rude to number two Casper Ruud, knocking him out. And Katie Vollinets. Yes. Vollinets is her last name, the greatest name in the sport. She knocked off the 9 seed on the women's side. Mina, is this American resurgence something real or not yet?
I think it is, especially with regards to the men, because, of course, that's where Americans have not been competitive in tennis for some while. Because of the volume, 8 American men in the third round. That's the most since 1996, Tony. Mm-hmm. One of them has to be the future of the sport.
This is something that's been missing for a long time. You know, it's been 20 years since an American male won a Grand Slam event. Taylor Fritz is a pretty good player, but bigger surprises with these gentlemen getting through, although Brooksby's had some nice wins. I think he's going to be a nice player. Mm-hmm.
But again, the biggest surprise, Vollinets. She was asked, is that how you pronounce your last name? And she had a great response. It is now. Let's go with it. Showdown 2, I want to do a 30 for 30 on half-court shots because growing up, they used to investigate you if you hit one. I remember a Bulls fan, they tried to take back his money, and it was an enormous sum of money. It was a three-quarter shot, $500,000. And then when they found out, he played JUCO basketball. So that's how big a deal was then. But it's not like they give away that much money anymore. The Pacers gave away $500 a few weeks ago. But I bring this up because last night the Lakers had their third fan hit it. Ooh. And they gave away $70,000, so that's pretty good. Meanwhile, in that game, Kings beat the Lakers, sacked fans shouting, light the beam in L.A. This game was in L.A., and it was sacked fans, light the beam. Tim, what's the takeaway?
The takeaway is those Kings fans. The Kings won that game without Sabonis. They go into L.A., went on the road. They're the 4 seed. Yeah. Right now in the West.
Mina?
Watch out for Sacramento.
It's the Kings. I have seen people make half-court shots. I have never seen Sacramento fans take over Los Angeles. They turned them into the basketball Chargers, Tony.
Tim Kalishaw, FaceTime.
Oh, thank you, Tony. This week, the divisional playoffs, 8 teams left standing. For about 2 decades, that's been Tom Brady country. It's usually Aaron Rodgers country. Breeze, Peyton Manning, those guys all gone. The oldest quarterback left standing this weekend, 29-year-old Dak Prescott.
That right.
It belongs to the kids now. Kids game.
Just like this show, belonging to the kids. Cali should get the win.
Gone.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.